And now, for a moment of clarity.
Clearly, the cabinet secretary sat there and listened to Elon Musk, unconfirmed, unelected. What do you make of both the power dynamic, and do you think that the American people are going to buy what they're selling?
I don't know about the latter part so much. I mean, that's changing in quarters as folks on the ground begin to experience more and more of what DOGE isn't. It is not a government efficiency operation. It is not, designed to spare those who are directly impacted by these decisions. But the first part is notable, Chris, in so many ways. You have this unelected man standing there dominating the room. He is the most important person in that room, and that includes the president of the United States.
You really believe that he is more important than Donald Trump?
Yes, the fact that he was the first to speak, that the president didn't set the tone for the meeting, the president didn't lay out why they were there and what the cat, and then say, let's talk about some of the things that we're doing. This is where we start. The second thing that, for me, that's important to note, that this sort of crazy question is, so some of y'all are upset with Musk and what he's doing. Who are you, right? We all know who they are. It's been reported who they are. It's been reported that certain departments have told their folks, ignore that last email that came from this idiot about telling you what you did last week, right? So the fact that that question was asked was designed to check them. And the fact that they just sat there like little lemmings and applauded the moment that more and more of their power was sucked away from them and affirmed by Elon Musk standing there is significant. Now, I know a lot of folks are going to, take exception to what I said about who the most powerful man in that room is. But I'm sorry, I'm watching the dynamics. I'm listening to how this is laid out. If I'm the president of the United States, I'm not letting him talk first. I'm not letting him stand up over my table. And I'm damn sure not letting him come into my house wearing his hat, which again shows, that he can get away. Yeah, the MAGA stuff on the headline. But if you're serious about how you're going to streamline the government and make the government more efficient, then you put serious people in place to do that. You don't have unelected individuals, 19-year-olds, going and inserting themselves into these institutions in a way in which, to be honest, on the back end of this, we don't know what Musk and his team is planting inside our government systems that they can access through back doors later on. We don't know that. And to the listing of all the, quote, savings, well, we've already shown that that's a lie. And so it's just this cabinet moment reminded me of the first Trump cabinet, when he had everyone sit around the table and tell him how much they loved him. This is the next version of this, is telling them not only how much we love you, but how loyal we are to you, but especially to what DOGE is trying to do in the form of Elon Musk.
Yeah, so Michael, there's been some back and forth over the last several days about who actually is in charge of DOGE, but also Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's the chair, right, of the DOGE subcommittee. Right. She's making headlines for the criticisms that she has of Democrats who have been defending the federal workforce against allegations that, they're a bunch of slackers or they need to justify their existence. Anyway, let me play what she had to say.
You can protest all you want, but the American people disagree with you. You're protecting the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy is not a business. Those are not real jobs producing federal revenue. By the way, they're consuming taxpayer dollars. Those jobs are paid for by the American tax people who work real jobs, earn real income, pay federal taxes, and then pay these federal employees. Federal employees do not deserve their jobs. Federal employees do not deserve their paychecks.
Maybe I'm confused, but isn't she a federal employee, Michael? I'm pretty sure
she's a federal. Yes, yes. She's the level of stupid there is untenable. And the fact that she's the chair of this subcommittee should tell you everything you need to know. She is a federal employee. The American people don't agree with what's happening. Every polling, piece of polling that's coming out shows a significant majority, which tells me Republicans don't agree with this. And I want her to go have that town hall meeting and look the poor folks in her district in the eye and tell them that the federal employees that are helping to provide their grandmama's Social Security and the SNAP food program receipts that they're getting, that they're unworthy and they're not significant and important. This is where we are, Chris, and the country's going to have to grapple with the wholesale onslaught against the government and the mess that's being left in its wake, because this is not going to get undone easily as long as you have individuals like that sitting with power and control over how this plays out.
Well, in Peter Baker's latest New York Times piece, he says, quote, what were dubbed alternative facts in his first term have quickly become a whole alternative reality in his second, to lay the groundwork for radical change as he moves to aggressively reshape America and the world. Here to discuss, my dear friend and colleague, Michael Steele, former chairman of the Republican National Committee and former lieutenant governor of Maryland. He co-hosts The Weekend here on MSNBC. Michael, what do we do with this? We know that President Trump is a master of lying. He doubles down. Mm-hmm. Then everyone gets caught in the cycle of debunking the lie. Well, he's already on to the next thing, and that lie has made its way around the world 6 times. How do you stop this cycle? Because it's having a real impact this time.
You know, that's been a plaguing question for a while. And at the core of the answer, I still think is the Republican leadership. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Democrats saying, you're lying, or you or I on the air on our respective shows saying, you know, here are the facts. All of that kind of gets washed over, as you said, because he's moved on to the next lie. But what will stop it cold in its tracks, and what will get people to pay attention and realize that they're getting sucker punched every time with his stuff, is when a Republican senator goes to the well of the House, of the Senate, and says, Mr. President, that's not what this is. Ukraine did not start this war. I mean, putting the official authority of your office as a United States senator, Congress is a lost cause, so we don't expect anything to come out of Mike Johnson's house in that regard. So it really is, the beachhead really is, in my view, Stephanie, the U.S. Senate, because otherwise we're just trying to catch the tail. We're just kind of running around, just trying to catch the thing and to prove that it's not true.
Oh, okay.
And so we're kind of stuck in this loop.
But go back to Mike Johnson's house, because Mike Johnson and other House Republicans are looking to make cuts to Medicaid. Now, I know all sorts of people here in New York, folks down at Mar-a-Lago, say the math doesn't work. You got to cut Medicaid. But you know who relies on it? Low-income voters, a key group Republicans rely on. So how does Mike Johnson, you know, make a move like this? All these folks in the House, they do need to get reelected.
They do, and they're not going to make a move like that unless they plan to lose the House next year, because that's the reality. You're going to write the Democrats' campaign ads for them? Is that the plan? Is that the great plan? For the sake of what? You know, you've got a slim majority of 2 seats. It's not like you're winning the argument here. And so the fact remains that the more Donald Trump and Elon Musk's put pressure on them to make these cuts, the more and more they see their majority wither away, the more those members in those purplish, slightly red or slightly blue districts become vulnerable to the argument that you don't give a damn about workers. Right? You don't give a damn about the poor. Well, who do you give a damn about? Oh, very wealthy people who can cover their own health care. And so this is the reality that's being set up for them. Elon Musk doesn't know jack about what he's doing. He's just slashing and bashing and acting like a juvenile on stage. He's a grown-ass man acting like he's 10 years old. Why? Because he's been given not only the cookie jar, but the keys to the house. And the parents have gone away and think that, well, the babysitter's going to show up at some point before midnight. That's not happening.
Yeah, and he's driving a Cybertruck right into the pool. Well, when you talk about the Democratic attack ads, it makes me think a lot of people are happy to see Chris Murphy. He's kind of become the face of the Democratic resistance out there punching back and punching at Elon every day. That's one strategy. But in the last few days, we've heard from James Carville that said Democrats should do nothing. They should sit back in silence because Republicans, they're going to collapse in the next 30 days. What do you think the right strategy is?
I love my boy James, and I get what he's saying, but you know, Stephanie, in business and in politics, it abhors a vacuum, right? If you're doing a deal and you don't make the move, someone else will. If you're in politics and you don't communicate on the point, someone will do it for you, especially if it affects you or impacts you. I don't want you defining me. I'm going to define myself, and I'm going to define you at the same time. So I think what Chris Murphy is doing and what others are doing is important. They need to do more of it because they need to get these narratives out in front of the people, which gets us back to how we started the conversation. Since Republican senators in particular won't stand in that well, it is important to have someone with the semblance of authority who can stand in that well, outlining the problem before the American people.
If you don't tell your story, somebody's going to tell it for you. Mr. Steele, always good to see you.
Catch Michael Steele on The Weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on MSNBC.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.